This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. Glad to see you. Even if it's in a different format than I was expecting, I wasn't expecting to be talking to people at round tables, but I've had a little time to adjust to it now, and I think I'm pretty good. But an Anabaptist philosophy of technology after 20 years, I'll admit that I changed that, and I might need to change it again after you all hear me talk here. I had it 15 years, and I realized I didn't go back far enough. I started looking, what I did to prepare for this talk is I went through and tried to collect all the statements of technology from the different Anabaptist groups, and I think I got about 20 of them. And Edsel sits right down here and makes me feel uncomfortable because I know he's doing exactly the same thing. But anyhow, I didn't realize that before today. But so what I did is I collect statements from about 20 Mennonite Anabaptist organizations, anything from Groffdale Conference all the way to maybe on the other end, Biblical Mennonite Alliance. And what I tried to do from this is try to get what are Anabaptists thinking? After 20 years of thinking about computers and internet, what do Anabaptists now think about technology? And one of the things that I thought about is, apart from scholars whose job it is to study the sociology of technology and how it affects people, I think perhaps Anabaptists have analyzed this more than any other people on earth. And maybe I'm just at the middle of this, but I know I was at one conference, and the speaker was asking a Japanese person, he said, is there anybody in Japan that's like Amish and Mennonites where they really look at this? And he said, as far as he knows, there isn't. There's just they just pretty much accept what is out there. But a couple, and as I was looking, I thought, wouldn't our lives be so much easier if we could just go with this? Books for church libraries shall be approved by the local ministry. As I was looking at the one statement on the other page, I noticed this relic or shadow from the past. That's how we used to do it. But things have changed. Things have changed. Things have moved on. A couple caveats. One of the things is technology, computers, it wasn't formed our ideas or Anabaptist ideas about this or a philosophy. And what I merely mean by that is nothing big. It's a title I quickly gave Kyle when he asked. Is a theory or attitude held by a person or organization that acts as a guiding principle. That's what I mean by that. Nothing fancy. I maybe should have used a simpler thing. But we didn't start yesterday or 10 years ago. This is built, our ideas about computers and internet, which is a very narrow band of technology, wasn't formed yesterday. It's on the basis. And as a matter of fact, in 1958, and there's probably someone here that's going to say, boy, you didn't know of things, many other ones as well. But in 1958, Lancaster Mennonite Church created a statement on TV. And when I look at that, a lot of the ways we think about now are very much just perfectly in harmony with that. This is nothing new. It's just a continuation of what we did before. Another thing, the statements that I'm going to talk about, I realized, don't tell me that, not everyone practices it. I'm aware of that. There's, almost when I got statements from people, often they would tell me, well, this is a little outdated. We don't necessarily, do that. Or the second most common thing I think I heard is, well, we're going to update it very shortly. And actually, and I think I have a slide of this later, but one of my checklists is, are you going to update your statement shortly? Because so many people told me that. So that's another thing. Maybe some of this is a little outdated, but I think as a whole, probably not. Another thing I found out, I grew up in a church group that really made statements about things in the grand tradition, maybe of Lancaster Mennonite Conference. But I realize not all groups do, and some don't even want to. So that that's a hole in this. Those groups don't show up very good here. And I already said, in several cases, Groffdale, Holdeman, Mennonite Christian Brotherhood, and others said they're planning to update soon, so this may be slightly outdated. The next thing. Technology and a philosophy of technology. My life, I spent most of my life, there's two segments of the philosophy of technology. One is how you do technical things, and the other one is how it affects humans. And I spent most of my life, I'm an IT person. I like going out there and making computer things work, but I realized that there's a whole other way of looking at technology, and that's how it affects humans. And this whole report is all about that, the humanities side of technology. There's the analytic, how you make computers work, and the other one is how those computers and internet affect humans, and that's what we'll be looking at. And that's what Anabaptists are, that's what they have philosophy about, that's what they have. So what are my findings? After looking, after collecting 40 pages of statements, so if you want some real exciting reading for some evening, you can come get them. I have 40 pages, and I think Edsel has 150. I don't know how, he has even more. But mine is only about 45 pages long, and I have three copies, so if someone really wants it, you can get it. It's, to me, it's fascinating. It shows a people thinking about something that is moving our world. So what I tried to do, and this is very oversimplified probably, 7 points, how Anabaptists are, what philosophy they have. Number one, implicit in all these statements is something that you take for granted, and that is that we should, can, and should judge technology. So you might think, well, that, you know, how, well, interestingly enough, a lot of the world does not have that view. As a matter of fact, if you judge technology, if you, on Twitter, I follow Mennonite and Anabaptist, just to see what the world thinks about Anabaptists and Mennonites. Or I say Mennonites, Amish, and Anabaptists. I follow those tags. And one of the things you'll find out, that Mennonite and Amish is another term for people that don't know anything about technology. You know, that's just what they think. But that's not at all the case, as we'll see as we go on here. In many of the statements, implicit. Obviously, if you write a statement, that means you think that you can judge it. The church can come together and judge and discern technology. After 20 years, that's what Anabaptists think. Most of the statements, this is implicit. Some of the statements say it concretely. Mennonite Christian Brotherhood says computer users shall welcome and respect the counsel of the Brotherhood in relation to computer usage. There they're saying it specifically. Another one, the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference, says members unwilling to cooperate or who knowingly violate these standards that we have written forfeit their membership. The church may, and that's said maybe in a negative way, but the church can come together and judge technology. You know, this may seem basic, but it's worth noting, and it's a significant difference from much of society. I was reading through Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Ethics, and I was not expecting at all to hear about technology. And sure enough, I come across this page that talks about this very subject. He says, from the Egyptian pyramids and the Greek temples to the medieval cathedrals in the 18th century, technology has always been a matter of artisanship, and it stood in the service of religion, of kings, of art, and of the daily needs of men. The technical science of the modern Western world has emancipated itself from any kind of subservience. Technology has become an end in itself. And you know, when something is an end in itself, you may judge it. But Anabaptists, their philosophy or their guiding principle is that you can, you may. Another author that talks about technology and how it affects, he says, technical men are always disconcerted when one asks them the motive for their faith. It's like, wait a minute, this is what I rest on, not the thing you question. But Anabaptists certainly do question. Some questions we may ask as Anabaptists, and we do, is what is called progress really progress? That's a fundamental question. Interestingly, individuals may individually decide to discern technology without being judged by society. But when it is communities as a whole that judge technologies, they are harshly criticized. Do you notice what that's saying? You have to. That's why when I follow Amish and Mennonite on Twitter, it's okay if there's one person that's a real, what do you call them? Not yuppie, but you know, they're real. They may not have a computer. That's okay, as long as it's just one person and they're a little odd because they do it. But whole communities may not do that. But Anabaptists say, no, you may. Communities may get together and resist the whole mass. You may do different. What has come to be seen as one of the legs on which the hope of utopia rests for the present day man, the Christian dares to question. They question technology. Indeed, it has been argued that for modern man, technology fills the role of the sacred. And one author has said that when one God arises, the other has to fall. Well, you know exactly what has happened in our day. And I find it extremely interesting. The classical definition of the sacred is something that brings hope and is feared. Think about technology only for a moment. And you can just think of any one of many advertisements for computers. Recently, there was a Microsoft ad. And it gave this, it was full force. And it probably doesn't give, if you don't see the ad, it doesn't give the full force. But I'm just going to read it. This is what it says. Think about this hope and fear. And this is only going to give one side of it. What is technology? And as it said that, it was showing medical, robots, all kinds of things. What can it do? How far can we go? Technology has the power to unite us. It inspires us. It takes us places we only dreamed of. It gives us hope. It gives hope to the hopeless. It has given voice to the voiceless. It is empowering us all. Just take those words when they're taken away from the music and the visuals, and you notice a very base, this is where our hope is, and you can almost replace it with some very other foundational significant things. Number two. Or maybe one last thing. Said another way, Anabaptists are clearly committed to discerning and discarding what doesn't assist in the spread of God's rule on earth. Number two. Communities should thoughtfully decide what is good by rigorous internal discussion. Not by default, not the latest corporate marketing departments or what media says, but what a spirit-guided brotherhood decides by thinking and talking together will be what is done. This is not said explicitly in all the statements, but one of them, the Conservative Mennonite Conference of Ontario, said, the pressure of the advertising world is not what determines what technology we do or don't. How do others decide? You know, I've said that Anabaptists think communities should get together and decide. Well, how do others decide what they take and what they don't? Neil Postman, in his book Amusing Ourselves to Death, said there has been no consensus, no discussion, no opposition, only compliance. And interestingly, Kevin Kelly, in What Technology Wants, said this on page 254. Paradoxically, the Amish and Mennonites are far more scientific than most secular professionals about the technology that they adopt. Typically, non-religious consumers tend to accept technology on faith, even those atheists, based on what the media says with no testing at all. In contrast, Amish and Mennonites perform four levels of empirical testing on potential technology. And that's so interesting, actually. You might think, what do Anabaptists have to tell the wider world? This book has a whole chapter about Amish and Mennonites. And I'm just going to read a very small segment because it's really interesting to hear someone else say. What Technology Wants, Kevin Kelly. So this four levels of testing that Amish and Mennonites do on, and I know, I actually met the person who was interviewed for this chapter, and he always uses the word Amish, but he was actually a Grofdell Mennonite person. So he gets his word, and he knew he did that, but he knew Amish would appeal to a wider, but when he says Amish, he means Mennonite. How do they go through this rigorous testing? First, they discuss among themselves, sometimes in councils of their elders, and the expected community consequences of an upcoming innovation. What happens if we do thus and thus? Second, they closely monitor the actual effect of use among in a small set of early adopters to see if their observations confirm their hypothesis. Third, will the elders remove a technology? So, you know, there's a big question. Is social media a good thing, or should we back up? Should we undo it? It appears if it appears to be undesirable based on observed effect, then they assess the impact and maybe remove it. And last, they constantly reevaluate. I thought that was interesting. I'm not sure if we're that vigorous or not, but that's at least what some people think we do. But in any event, an Anabaptist philosophy of technology is that communities should thoughtfully decide what is good by rigorous internal discussion. And we know, if you're in any of our churches, you know we are having very rigorous discussion. Very rigorous. Another thing, and I'm not sure how much time, and if I just should drop that one, but another thing is Anabaptists are very, and related to this, as they're having this internal discussion, extremely sensitive to the effect, or how philosophers of technology, they talk about it, they say, the ideology of technology. Anabaptists might not use that word, but they really want to know, how is this thing going to affect us in ways that were not advertised? Nationwide Fellowship says, we believe that addiction to technology is becoming a threat to us all. Mennonite Christian Brotherhood says, we discourage children using computers in our homes. You know, how's this going to, I mean, yeah, they're good, we're going to let them, but how is it going to affect us in ways that were not advertised? Another one, cell phone capabilities threaten our biblical position on simplicity. You might disagree with that, but it's a very, very sensitive to how things change us. Number three, you might be surprised, and you probably can't see that very good, but you might be surprised by what we're told about ourselves, but there is an overwhelming yes to technology and a yes to computer technology. There really is. We think about it. We think about it seriously. We try to do what we think we should do. But the answer has been overwhelmingly yes. From Grofdale Conference, the whole way to the other end of the spectrum, they have said yes to computers. How's that? But as a computer, the function they're not opposed to. They're okay with that if it, you know. So yeah, that's a good technical correction. I appreciate that. And they are one of the groups that I talked to them and they said, you know, we're in the discussion. Do we allow Windows 8 or Windows, you know, do we allow that or don't we? And that's actually just in the next 2 weeks they're going to talk about that. So they're in, you know, very rigorous discussion, very rigorous, but yeah. But an overwhelming yes to most of the, and when I say computers, I'm not saying necessarily internet, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But most of them in some form, let's say, you know, it might be called a word processor, we know what's inside it, but, you know, in some form, they are okay with using pretty advanced technology. So a wide swath of even the most conservative groups accept technology in general, and the computer specifically, or a word processor, let's put it that way. You know, there's no question about transportation technology, solar technology, or CNC machines. Indeed, when I talked to the Grofdale person, his point was CNC machines was driving, you know, using regular Windows computers. That was one of the questions. You know, it's kind of a repeated validation. There is a wide consensus that in a large amount of groups, and probably too light almost to see back there, but, you know, we have Grofdale over here, and, you know, they're almost all, in some form, a computer. Indeed, the only question is information or computer technology. You might say, well, you know, why are you sort of odd in this way? But the interesting thing is, those who look at technology and its effects on humans, they say that the ideology of information and communication technology, or maybe I'll just read the quote here. You know, when someone asks a Mennonite minister to talk about technology, no one expects them to talk about solar panels, CNC machines, or high-tech medical things. What they really want them to talk about is communication, computer, internet technology. That's what they're talking about. It's a very small sliver of technology. But it's interesting. So we say, well, what's the deal? You know, why are they so odd? Why did they pick this one out? Listen to a philosopher of technology, or maybe I shouldn't call him that, someone who observes technology very closely. Technological changes in our modes of communication are even more ideology-laden than in changes of modes of transportation. And that is Neil Postman in Amusing Ourselves to Death once again. So it's, I mean, Mennonites and Amish and Anabaptists are very insightful. They noticed that. They realized that without necessarily going to university to find that out. You know, there's a repeated validation of the goodness of high-tech things created by man, whether it's solar panels, CNC machines, medical technology, or even computers in some way. And this is repeated in the statements over and over. Conservative Mennonite Conference of Ontario, the computer is a tool that can be used to enhance, used as an enhancement to business life. Hope Mennonite Fellowship, we recognize that the computers are very helpful aid in many areas of life and that their use as a tool can be to the honor and glory of God. Mid-Atlantic Mennonite Fellowship, computers have been a tremendous benefit to the lives of most of us. South Atlantic, the computer has been a great potential for good in the church and home. And then Shalom, and I don't have the details, the computer has much potential for good in nearly all areas. Now, I say this, and you're saying, I'm only saying half the statement, and yes, I am. You know, often they'll say this, and then they go on to be very insightful and to say there's another side as well. So they're giving both sides. They're not lopsided. The yes comes not by being unaware, but with a clear understanding of an invention that can do both good and evil. A lot like the created and creative man himself. But it's very, very, very observed. Number four, a deep-seated aversion to being entertained, whether by computer or elsewhere. But I just found it astonishing how many statements have specifically the sentence of being entertained. And this is all launched in 1958, and I'm sure way before that, by a really interesting statement by Lancaster Mennonite Conference statement on TV in 1958. Point three, as it talks about what's wrong with TV, it says it promotes a desire to be entertained. That's really a foundational way of thinking. You know, the TV is going to promote a desire to be entertained. But then we go on, once again, CMCO, where a machine is used primarily for amusement, it is objectionable. Computers are not to be used for entertainment. Christian Mennonite Fellowship, tools for business rather than an amusement center. Eastern Pennsylvania Mennonite Church, using cell phones for games or entertainment is not permitted. Pilgrim Mennonite Fellowship, we forbid the use of computer and other smart devices for entertainment. And a beachy statement that was pretty old, so don't call me on the carpet too harsh. We forbid the use of computer as a tool for entertainment. And those are just, I'm just picking some out and just saying them. So a deep-seated aversion to being entertained by our computer things. In the Sanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, in the section under the relationship between technology and science, has some interesting observations from pioneers of the analytic, let's just say computer science, philosophy of computer. One of the first things when they started in talking about how to make computers, thinking about making computers do the things they do, they had this question about what is the difference between science and technology. And on the very thought, they're kind of related. What is the difference? And as they, in the 1960s, when they were thinking about that, they came up with a couple statements to try to figure out what the difference is, and it's very insightful. Science, he's Polish, I'm not going to try to say his last name. Science concerns itself with what is, whereas technology concerns itself with what is to be. And another one, Herbert Simon, 1969, science is concerned with how things are, but the engineer with how things ought to be. And this whole question about entertainment is how things ought to be. That's interesting. Technology, another person said, is an ongoing attempt to bring the world closer to the way one wishes it to be. The Anabaptist's answer to this question is, what is how things ought to be? And the overwhelming answer from these 20-some churches is certainly not entertained into oblivion. Number five, our domain, homes, devices, spaces, I don't know if that got unhooked with my thing here, should reflect our values, and it is expected culture will not reflect our values. Just because it is costly or it's difficult or it's hard to make our devices reflect our values does not mean we don't do it. Maybe I should say it the other way. We go to all the effort it takes, if it means making committees that do newsletters regularly so that we make these devices be our values, then we do it. If it costs $150 or $200 or, you know, some device for a business that's thousands, we do it. Or Anabaptists do that. And with a serious idea that just because we bring a little window, a little island of a thing that can reach out into the bigger world, doesn't mean that thing shouldn't still reflect our values. Our homes, devices, and even spaces, and I use that word, I wasn't sure how to say that exactly. One of the statements even said, where you work. You know, that should be. So Anabaptists see it as a very serious, very important thing to make sure our homes, devices reflect our values, and it is expected culture will not reflect our values. The Godly Home Charity Christian Fellowship says the godly home is a shelter from the corruption of society. And another thing, interesting thing, you will see as an argument for this in different statements, and I don't have these written down, but long lists of things that you find in society that are not okay in the church, in our homes, and in our spaces. You know, they give long lists like, and I should have written it down, but it's interesting. It reminds me of Paul in the epistles. He gives these long lists of things that just don't belong in our spaces. And you see this time and again in these statements. Our domain, homes, our property, our spaces should reflect our value. And there's no expectation that the greater society will have that. An adamant no to what is deemed too easy access to blatant evil. And I'm having this one as a separate point. It seems like a separate point to me. One is common things that happen in society that are not okay in our homes. But then another one is blatant, really bad stuff. There's an adamant no to what is deemed too easy to this blatant evil, and there should be some kind of active response. And that response, when you take the spectrum of churches, might be different. But the effort, I think, among Anabaptists is to make it not too easy, whatever that is. You know, is using someone else's computer too easy? Is having our own computer too easy? Is having even internet, even with very strict controls, too easy? You know, what is too easy? And that question is very, very seriously talked about. And you know, what is too easy is not a simple question as devices explode. You know, one time we had one device and we could kind of focus on that. Well, it probably seems to some churches or some people that are trying to get a grip on this, a little like, you know, back when they had the Star Wars thing, they came out with these missiles that you, at one time, you could just shoot one missile and you had the whole thing done. It was taken care of. Then after a while, they had these multiple re-entry missiles where they would split into four. Well, you know, Anabaptists don't want it to be too easy, but these things just keep multiplying. So first of all, we had the PC. Well, then we had a couple tablets. Now we have mobile phones. You know, what is too easy? That may be a question. But the answer is that it shouldn't be too easy. Number seven. Maybe you're going to disagree with me on this one again. But I was surprised. The surprising consensus of yes to productivity internet usage. He's agreeing with me. Good. I was sweating a little. A surprising consensus of yes, even to product, when I say productivity internet usage, it may come as somewhat of a surprise at how many groups among the spectrum and how broad a range are trying to accommodate business internet usage at some level. Some may look at this as a kind of dark capitulation to finance and business. But I would argue that it's not. What really at the heart is an attempt, the previous point, to make our homes reflect our values. And business, you know, business, using it for business doesn't, apparently Anabaptists think that that doesn't, that that can be safe. There is some exceptions. Grofdale Conference, if we take it at the one end, does not accept any connections to computers, as I understand. They don't even, no modems or anything, and that's the reason for the word processor. Any other computer can pretty much plug something in. Nationwide Fellowship, including Mennonite Christian Brother, have made provision to use the internet somewhere else, provided there's accountability. And I think I'm getting that accurate. So what we're saying is they're making some way to do it. You know, some way to use the internet appropriately. Not used in any way that the computer merely replaces the TV to bring the strong influence of pop culture into our lives. I mean, I would say when it said for business use, that's kind of what they're saying. They don't want the powerful influence of pop culture to come into our homes, into our spaces. I think what is communicated by the statements is internet used in very specific way, not as a constant mass media pipeline into our home, delivering the influence of what is often called the spirit of the age. And I find it interesting. I don't know if people look at other people's books and then just use that language, but the spirit of the age, the spirit of the world, South, you know, anything from Christian Mennonite fellow brotherhood to South Atlantic programming that is dominated by the spirit of the world. That's what is the attempt to get away from. In summary, what is an Anabaptist philosophy of technology after looking at it for about 20 years? Affirm yes to the Christian's responsibility to judge technology. Communities should thoughtfully decide what is good by rigorous internal discussion. A yes to technology and a yes to computer technology, a deep-seated aversion to being entertained. Our homes, devices, spaces should reflect our values, and it is expected that culture will not. An adamant no to what is deemed too easy access to really evil things. And finally, a consensus of yes to productivity internet usage. And if I had to say, I would say the question of technology in Anabaptist circles is in reality not a question of technology, but who will shape us? Who will shape our communities? Whose presence do we want to come in close contact with? And that's all I have to say.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.